Welcome to a special series of Soul Talks on mental health and faith. Soul Talks is sponsored by the nonprofit ministry of Soul Shepherding, where we help you go deeper with Jesus in emotional health and loving leadership. Let's join our hosts, Bill and Christy Galtier, doctors of psychology, founders of Soul Shepherding, and authors of Healthy Feelings, Thriving Faith.
Hello, Soul Talk friends. Bill and I are so grateful for getting to follow Jesus together and grow together. We're coming before you now in Mental Health Awareness Month. We're hearing a lot about this today, the issue of there's a mental health crisis in our nation, yes, but in our world even. And there's lots of statistics behind this. There's lots of news reports about this. And we're concerned about it too. We have people we love that are struggling in the area of mental health. And we are really excited about the mission of the church in this day and age. It's a great opportunity for us to respond to this mental health crisis. And as people are becoming more aware of mental health needs and it's getting safer to talk about it, we want to see the church rise up and bring what God has given us. We have so much to bring and to give. And yet we know, so we've titled this, Is the Church Good for Our Mental Health? Because there are people that sadly would answer that question no, because there's been harm, there's been injury by people who haven't been psychologically informed, who haven't really understood some of the mental health pain and suffering and illness. Thankfully, I think that's getting corrected more and more. I think people are waking up more than there. That's a good thing. And we want to be a part of that. One of our missions is to help you grow to be more psychologically healthy and informed and in your discipleship to Jesus, because Jesus brings us the ultimate healing and help for our mental health and reconciling us to God and in giving us eternal hope to live with and so much truth and grace. And we get to be ambassadors of him into our world.
Yeah, the new way we're saying it is go deeper with Jesus in emotional health and loving leadership. That's the vision of Soul Shepherding and this podcast. And it's a blessing for us to have this conversation with you who are listening. And Christy, we have experienced so much over our lifetimes in our experience with the local churches, and we've had pastor roles serving in the church, and we've been volunteer leaders in churches, and so thankful for the things that God has taught us through pastors and leaders and churches. And then sometimes some of these things have been hurtful. And so it's really important for all of us as Christians to just wake up to this crossroads that we're at in our world today, like you're saying, Christy, that the gosh, we got over a third of people are anxious and over 10% depressive disorder. Suicide rates are way up. Addiction is worse than ever. We've got so many people struggling with neurodiversity and the different issues on the spectrum, and so many challenges that we're having in the area of mental health and emotional health in our relationships and with family conflicts and divorce, and just not to mention just the emotional struggles that don't qualify as a mental health disorder that so many of us have. And so in Soul Shepherding, we are really speaking to these issues and bringing them into the context of spiritual direction and our discipleship to Jesus. And because all of us, to some extent, we're living in this world and we're experiencing these stressors and these disappointments and issues like grief. And we need to understand what's going on, and we need to understand where God is in the midst of this and how we can integrate our emotional health and our faith in Jesus.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners, Bill, have experienced what I've experienced at times, where maybe I've come home from church and I've been shrouded in shame and been sidelined by shame, and it's disconnected me from God, or where I've felt rejected and been lonely and shown up and I wasn't received and welcomed into the community. And those things are examples where it was bad for my mental health. I could say, well, the church was bad for my mental health today. But in general, the church at large, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, is good for my mental health. There have been some areas where maybe there's been some harm or there's been some injuries or there's been some failures. But in general, the church, the body of Christ, is there in ways that are so catalytically helpful, because the church can and should be, as we grow in our healthy attachment to God and each other, places, safe places, places of belonging, of welcoming, to really receive God's love through his ambassadors, ways to get real knowledge and truth from our Creator, who created us, who knows us, who understands all the things that contribute to or afflict our mental health, where we are able to be led in wonderful ancient spiritual disciplines that are really good for our mental health, like worship. And there's all kinds of research attached to that even today, how worship is good for your mental health, how worship is good for your physical health, how worship stimulates your vagus nerve and helps your brain and all these different things, or prayer and how mindfulness, another term really, but prayer is more than mindfulness. It's mindfulness, but it's meaningful connection to a real living being, all-powerful being who loves us, who created us, who has an eternal purposes, good purposes for us. And so many of these spiritual disciplines now are being found to be good for our mental health, and they're even just not even looking at the true, most powerful piece of it, and that is the why behind why we would even do them in terms of our relationship and attachment and attunement and following of Christ and our call in him and our existence in him. This research isn't even touching on that.
Right. So there's like a lot of research on the power of gratitude, and that's being used in what's called positive psychology, mm-hmm. and all kinds of therapists and wellness practitioners are teaching us to be grateful, and it's a good thing, but a lot of times it's really not connected to God, and so it's not the best thing, because the point of being grateful is that God is good and beautiful and kind, and we're forgiven of our sins, and so we thank God to bless God, to honor God. And then it happens that it is also very healthy for us mentally and emotionally and relationally. It promotes intimacy in our relationships. And so, yeah.
And the scripture says every good and perfect gift is from the Father above. It's all from God. It's all everything we have to be grateful for. And yet then there's this other side that scripture also affirms, and that's lament. And there's times when we need to grieve, and there's times when we need to lament, and there's a time when we need to process our sadness. And the church also can affirm that if we're really following the Lord and his word in scripture.
One of our colleagues who's a psychologist is doing a research study on the value of lament, the lament psalms, for our healing and wholeness in the Lord. It's such an important study. And so, yeah, there are so many of you who are listening, your pastors, your teachers, your shepherds, your ministers. I think all of you in some way are helping other people. And that's why we exist, is to help you. And as part of that, we want to bring you a Jesus-centered psychology. And so we're very excited in this series. We're going to be asking questions like, is fear a lack of faith? Is anxiety a lack of faith? Is addiction sinful? Is shame helpful to resist sin? Is it codependent to keep forgiving? Is self-love selfish? Depression, is depression a lack of faith? These are questions that we'll be asking as this series continues, because there is this tension here at times in our experience between what is healthy faith and what is healthy mentally and emotionally. And sometimes we get those mixed up. And sometimes we express our faith, or we teach the Bible, or practice our Christianity in ways that are harmful to mental health and emotional health. And you who are listening, you don't want to do that. And that's that's why you're listening. That's why you're part of Soul Shepherding. And I mean, we are so thankful, Christy, for the local church and so many churches today that have pastors who are, in addition to being just godly, faithful to the scripture and compassionate and really shepherding their people well, they are really seeking to learn mental health teachings and mm-hmm. Accurate psychology so that they integrate that into their ministry.
It's so exciting for me, Bill, the pastors that we get to intersect with who come to the Institute, who are pressing into this. They're getting their own healing. The light bulbs go off for them. I see them freed up. I see them reignited in their relationship with Jesus and intimacy with him. And then just the overflow from that and their churches, it's really just an amazing thing to get to be a part of. And I just praise God for what he is doing in his church. And sometimes some of you might not get to see that. So I just want to encourage you that we see that happening.
The best people on earth, the heroes of our society, we get to listen to and care for and teach in soul shepherding. It's an incredible thing. And it's very fulfilling for us because when I got my PhD in psychology, I, right alongside all my classes and all my textbooks and all the practicum experiences and therapy, I had my Bible open and I'm studying my Bible and I'm practicing spiritual disciplines and I'm praying because I'm all about like integrating that. And because all truth is God's truth and the most important and authoritative of that is in the Bible. And so integrating this into a Christ-centered psychology has been super important for us, both of us in our years as therapists, and then since 2009 when we started soul shepherding, in our training of spiritual directors and the retreats that we offer and all of that.
Last week, Bill, you and I had the blessing of being with about 100 mental health practitioners in the church. Some of them are in very different areas than us, in the area of research or academics or the medical field, and then others are like us in ministry or therapy work. But all of us came together around this. How can we, the church, be helpful in the mental health crisis? And one of the speakers was from Scotland, a psychiatrist and also a chaplain to the King of England. And we really appreciated and were kind of surprised when he got up to speak. What does the church uniquely have to contribute to the area of mental health?
And his answer was, the first thing is the Bible.
Yeah.
And I thank God for the Bible. That is a book of healing. That is a book of truth that has tremendous contributions to make to our mental health when we read it rightly. Of course, the Bible is not primarily a book written for our mental health. It's a book written to help us be forgiven of our sins and reconciled with God and to grow as disciples of Jesus.
Which is good for our mental health.
And growing as a disciple of Jesus includes our mental, emotional, relational health because we're meant to be loving to other people. And when we are struggling with mental health challenges, and when we say mental health, we mean to include emotional health in relational health, the term that's widely accepted is mental health feels a little inadequate in a way because it's like, well, it's not just the mind, but the mind is integrated with the heart and emotions, our relationships, our habits, and our whole being. And so growing as a disciple of Jesus includes these aspects because if I'm going to be loving to other people, what we learn is, well, I need to be self-aware. I need to experience secure attachment so that in my relationships, and if I didn't experience much of that as a child growing up, I'm going to need some repair. I'm going to need some new healthy attachments. And then that experience and that growth process helps me to facilitate that for other people. And the more that I am just taking one example of a psychological principle here with secure attachment, the more that I am a securely attached person in my relationship with God and in my close relationships, that changes the way that I preach, the way that I lead a small group, the way that I conduct my mission work, the way that I conduct my business at the office or on the computer, or the way that I interact on my Instagram page, and certainly the way I interact in my family. All of our works of love, all of our whatever we do in our jobs and our relationships with our family and friends and people at church, that comes out of who I am. Mm-hmm. And it comes out of who I am in God. And so as God reaches into those places where there is sin, where there's brokenness, and where there are mental health challenges, struggles with anxiety and depression, compulsive behavior, unhealthy relationships, trauma, things like this. That healing process, that growing in wholeness, changes me.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, in ministry, the instrument that you are bringing to people in your ministry, the instrument that you are bringing is you. It's your personality, yourself under the Lord in God's kingdom. And so it's through you that the scriptures get ministered to. And so, I mean, even how we read the Bible is ways that we don't realize how we interpret the scripture, how we translate it and apply it in our Bible teaching is influenced by the unresolved psychological issues, emotional wounds, mental health challenges that we're having. We'll project that even into the Bible and potentially give distorted teachings if we're not aware of these things and receiving healing and growth in these areas.
Well, this is my story, Bill. This is why I, as a young adult, was called to study psychology, because the church had been helpful to my mental health and hurtful to my mental health. And that was confusing to me. And I didn't understand that. And it didn't seem like it should be that way. And so it was key to my story that God would help me to stay in the church, to not leave the church, to not make the church all bad, to not throw out the good that I received because there had been harm there, but to really look to understand and to get some reparative experiences and some healing experiences and to go on a journey of growth and healing for those areas where I had mental health challenges, where I had been vulnerable to get in an abusive relationship, where I had been vulnerable to fall into a major depression, to get help in those areas and get freedom and healing and growth and become a wounded healer. And so it's such a joy and honor. At the time, I didn't have the vision and the understanding that I would get to now be a part of God using my story, my experiences, my healings to get to provide places of that for others in the body of Christ, like we do get to do at our Soul Shepherding Institute, talking about these things and helping people engage and experience reparative experiences with God and identify areas where their image of God is distorted or where there's biblical blunders that are hurtful to them and other people. It's such a great joy for me. And now I get to see other people come and get healing and freedom and growth and greater
health.
Well,
thank you for your courage to be emotionally honest. It's been a blessing to me and our relationship. And when you, since you've done that with friends, with spiritual directors, years ago with therapists, and just seen the Lord's grace at work deep in your heart and soul, Christy, and then increasingly over the years watching you take courage to be a wounded healer and to tell your story publicly. And that's one of my favorite things about our Soul Shepherding Institute retreats is just hearing you share pieces of your story. And a lot of times it does include what you're talking about, areas of mental health challenges and brokenness and struggles with shame or depression or distorted God image, things like you're talking about, and just telling those stories and then how God met you in that and how you've experienced healing and you've experienced new understandings and changes that have made a big difference for you. And because so many of us, you who are listening, I mean, we're all living in this world and in this challenges with sin and brokenness. None of us go unaffected. Mm-hmm. None of us go unscathed.
Right.
And so we need the safe places. And that's a big part of what we're doing here just in this conversation, just to put language to some things and name some stuff that maybe isn't getting named and to talk about both sides of it. And, you know, as we're wrapping up this conversation, I mean, just to look at some of the ways that our churches are just so wonderfully serving as the light of Jesus in their communities and in their circles of influence. Christy, we talked to so many pastors and church leaders and leaders of nonprofit ministries and just the plethora of incredible ministries. And specifically right now, I'm thinking about the area of mental health. which is just one important area in a church. But we've got ministries like Celebrate Recovery and 12-step groups in churches. We've got grief support groups. We've got groups for parents who have kids with mental illness, and specific groups for helping people with anxiety and depression, and Bible studies on topics like this. And we've got pastors preaching sermons and using good psychology that are, and offering compassion for people that are struggling, and not just giving trite answers or using Bible verses like Band-Aids on top of wounds, but really wrestling with the issues and bring the truths of God's word in a relational way that is helping people to integrate into their discipleship process understandings about their emotional struggles and where God is in the midst of all of that. And so we're so thankful for our churches and the ways that we are the light of Jesus in our communities.
Yeah, and we're thankful for you, that you are a part of this, that you're joining us in growth. Is this part of soul shepherding? For those of you that are donating and supporting this ministry, those of you that are pressing in to learn and to grow and then to overflow in your areas of influence. So Jesus, we do just thank you and praise you for your great love, for your kingdom, and for your people and your church, Lord, that are shining your light. Lord, we ask that you would continue this good work, that you would continue to heal each one of us, that we would be more effective and healthy and whole ambassadors of you, shepherds after your own heart, by your power and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
To go deeper with Jesus in your mental health and faith, get a copy of Healthy Feelings, Thriving Faith by Bill and Christy Galtier. You'll discover fresh insights on your Enneagram type and receive the help you need for personal and relational struggles with anger, shame, anxiety, and sadness. To go deeper with Jesus in an authentic community led by Bill and Christy and their staff, come to one of our upcoming Soul Shepherding Institute retreats. Check out the links in the show notes or visit soulshepherding.org.